It's time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of the Kindle edition, Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. And I thought that happened. I wasn't too sure, but I thought that happened. We'll try this again. I've been nothing but trouble getting a hold of this number this morning. Even though I did speak to her.
No, I heard you. It is
I'll see if
something in the air.
I will. Yeah, we'll try this again. Judy said, hi, I lost you. And there's no doubt about it. Something weird with the phone today. Anyway, here is Judy Werpman. Good morning, Judy.
Yes, it's been weird all over.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost a continuation of last week. Oh, speaking.
Yeah, it's raining here, but certainly the phone line should not be vulnerable to the weather.
I don't know. It's a Dixie cup, right?
Maybe.
All right. So.
Anyway, Jill, I really had a very odd experience. I wrote to you as if I was writing about somebody else, but it's really writing about myself. A friend of mine and I went to one of these flea markets / antique markets a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at some China, and I recognize a pattern that my mother had, now being sold, quote, as an antique. And we picked up the plate, and it was one of these plates with a very wide rim to it. And then beyond the rim, toward the middle, was sort of a depressed area where presumably you put the food. You couldn't put the food all over the plate because, again, the rim was slightly elevated than this depressed area. And we looked at it, and we said to each other, wow, that's a tiny little place to put the food. And my friend said, gee, it must be about 10 inches across. And the person who was at the booth, you know, the antique dealer, said, no, it's only 9 inches. And then he went on to tell us that that was a typical size of a plate on which you would put the food, not never mind the rim, about 50, 60 years ago. That our dinner services, our plates, were considerably smaller than they are today. And I went to look this up, and I realized that, you know, he was absolutely right. We don't even perceive this, but if you looked at the size of a typical dinner plate that you might have either at home or in a restaurant, as opposed to 9 inches, you know, 60 years ago, it's maybe as big as 12 inches, and certainly 11. And what this means is that the size of the plates has very nicely kept pace with the size of the portion sizes that we are being served both in restaurants and at home. And, of course, we all know that portion sizes have increased significantly, which is one of the major causes, of course, of our persistent weight gain. But somehow I never realized that the size of the plates was connected. And when you think about it, it really makes a great deal of sense. Because if you have a small portion size and you put it on a big plate, it looks like it's seeking other food. if you take the portion sizes that we should be eating, the kind that a dietitian might tell you to eat, you know, with her rubberized models of, a piece of hamburger or a mass of rice or some peas or string beans or something, they are tiny. You know, we're supposed to have a piece of meat that's the size of a deck of playing cards. And we're supposed to have 1/2 cup of rice or peas or string beans or carrots or what have you. And that's it. If you put that on today's serving plate, dinner plate, you're going to see a tiny bit of the plate covered by the food, and the rest is going to be empty spaces. And so you look at it and say, wait a minute, where's the food? And so I don't know which came first, you know, the plate or the size of the food, but one of the things that I think people aren't realizing, except, you know, diet programs, which tell you always to try to put your food on a small plate, is that it really does have an effect on what we consider the appropriate amount of food to eat. And if a restaurant or even, you know, somebody at home wants to, you know, try to get people to eat less, they really have to. They may have to go out and buy smaller place.
Like, well, I don't know if you remember, but as some decades ago, and it was an actual cuisine, and I can't remember. It might have been the beginning of Nouvelle Cuisine, and there were these massive plates with these minuscule portions.
Yes, that's right.
And I think that if one were continuing to following your thread here, I think that you could go back to that because there was some issue. Certain people were not thrilled to be paying, relatively speaking, a gazillion dollars for, you know, two grains of rice and one, you know, chicken finger.
That's right.
And so as an offshoot, you know, it became more all you can eat and fill the plate. And so, but they kept with the big plates, and there is no disputing that the amount of food that people have, the amount of fill it in that people have been encouraged over the last many decades to blank ingest or, you know, is staggering. I mean, it's exponential.
Yeah. I mean, even appetizer-sized portions that were perfectly appropriate as a small main course, if you really wanted to have a moderate amount of food, are now getting so large that you look at it and say, wait a minute, how could somebody possibly eat that as an appetizer and then have an entree?
Right. And, you know, and some of that has also been to compensate for the price that was being charged. Because
that's true.
And yeah, and then it becomes up to people to and most people don't go, wow, this is like way too much to eat. That's why there's also a phenomenal amount of waste.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, but even go back to basics, Jill. I wonder how many of us ever know how much we are eating. I mean, do you have a food scale? I don't have a food scale.
I think Marshall does. Marshall, okay, do you have a food scale? Do you have a food scale?
Yeah, but it's.
Do you ever use it?
It's really all it basically is it's almost like a mail scale. But I do that because when I'm making food now, I like to keep my meat and stuff like that to 3.5 ounces. But it's not a huge scale at all.
Then you're unusual. Most people, when they're told to follow a particular diet and they're given exact portion sizes, well, you know, a little bit of fudging, but pretty exact. I doubt if anybody goes home and takes out their measuring cups and their food and buys a food scale and says, okay, this is 4 ounces of this or this is a cup of that. I think people eyeball it and they think, well, I know how much I'm eating, but they don't. And you could do that by just testing them. You're saying, you know, tell us what a 3/4 of a cup of pasta is and they'll give you a cup and a half. And so when you go to a restaurant, you know that you're getting a lot of food, but I don't think you realize how much, unless you go to a place like a steakhouse, and then they'll tell you, well, the smallest portion is 8 ounces, and gee, if you're really hungry, you could order a 45-ounce steak. That, you know, is really probably too much to eat. The other thing is, restaurants are trying, some of them, responsible ones, to decrease the portion sizes, but they're saying that customers are saying, wait a minute, where's the food? You're charging me all this money, and you're not giving me that much food to eat. And so they're in a quandary as well because they just really want to be responsible and decrease plate waste, as you mentioned, Jill.
You know, I have to break in here for a second, Judy, because yesterday I did show you the importance of the scale. I had some leftover macaroni and I had some ground beef that I had, all right, and I've got a little bit of mozzarella cheese. I portioned out each and I measured it all out and I made like a macaroni lasagna for dinner. And it came to about, it would be somewhere around 1,000 calories. Now, all I had had at that point to eat during the day was 500 calories. So I decided, okay, you know what? At the end of the day, this is going to give me my 1,500 to 2,000 calories.
Sure.
So I made it and I ate it. And you know what? I didn't eat the rest of the afternoon or the evening and I went to bed.
Yeah.
It's really important to know the size of what you are eating.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And again, if you judge it by how it's sitting on the plate and the plate is gigantic, then you're going to assume you're not eating enough, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I I don't know what I'm going to do now, because if I'm ever on the road and I have to stop and get something to eat, I know that going into any one of these places is going to make me sick, because I really have cured myself over the past 15 months of all the things that you do, even at a restaurant. Even though it's fresh-made food at a restaurant, you just really don't know what's in there and how much. You're right. Your plate comes out, you have no idea. The only way you have an idea, Judy, is if you get a salad and they give you a quarter of a chunk of iceberg lettuce. Then you know what you've got.
That's right. But the other thing, Marshall, is that when you order a main course, that's it. You get that main course. You may order chicken breast or duck or hamburger, what have you. And that thing, that patty or that chicken breast sits on your plate, and there's nothing else around it. And if in the old days, really old days, you used to get a couple of veg, you know, and the starch, and they would fill up those foods would fill up the plate too. Right. And if you got the vegetables, it was certainly with low calories. And so you thought you were getting a meal. Now you get a part of the meal. And so if you were looking at eating less food, you said, well, where is the rest of my dinner?
Yeah, no, it's now set up that you almost can't succeed with this without feeling you're either being starved or you're being overfed. You're being starved or foie gras, and those appear to be the two choices.
Yeah, but it's such an easy solution.
Yep,
bring small dinner plates. Tell people how much they're getting. And you know, here people are going and tying themselves up in contortions, trying to figure out why people are getting fat. Oh, it's their genes. You know, maybe we can tweak the genes, or it's this or that. It's so simple.
Yeah,
we're just eating too much.
Yeah, it really would make all the difference in the world. All right, to be continued. It is always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, on Thursday mornings right here on Robinhood Radio, also on demand, Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman, and also rebroadcast during the weekend.